The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today, we will reflect on the Gospel from St. Matthew and talk about professing our faith and living it out. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Bishop Michael Mulvey invites the faithful of the Diocese of Corpus Christi and visitors to the area to a weekly prayer, fasting, and adoration on Wednesdays in Corpus Christi Cathedral. The Holy Eucharist is exposed in Holy Hour and Adoration beginning at 6 p.m. Because of social distancing, seating each Wednesday is limited. For those unable to attend, Holy Hour and Adoration is live streamed via Cathedral and KLUX Facebook sites, along with diocesecc.org/faithresources website, YouTube, just search for Diocese of Corpus Christi, and the goccn.org website. Click Live Video. Bishop Mulvey will personally lead Holy Hour and Adoration the second Wednesday of each month. Again, all are invited to participate in the Holy Hour and Adoration each Wednesday, 6 p.m. in Corpus Christi Cathedral. Video presentations are a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Very well. Barbara, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
Well, you know, it's you know, we've already celebrated the first day of fall, so I can feel a little chill in the air. Can you?
I'm trying. I'm trying. It's a relative term, really.
It's very relative, but any reduction in degrees is a good thing.
Exactly, yeah.
So, all right, well, our gospel today is from St. Matthew, so let's prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word today.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not go,' but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave him the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, this gospel, I think, says something a little bit about all of us in regards to our faith.
Yes. You know, I've always said, even when I taught in the seminary, that that Jesus really is the total person. It's a bit of psychology, I think, here, mm-hmm. you know, that we all yes. experience in ourselves that we're told to do stuff and we say yes, and then we don't do it. And then we're told to do stuff, we say we won't do it, and yet we change our minds and do it. I mean, it's something I think that's very common in practice for many of us. And, you know, it's also, I was reminded of the other parable of the two sons, where one asked for the all of his inheritance and ran off and, right. and used it and abused it and then returned. Whereas the other son was there who never left and yet hardened his heart against his brother. And so there is that kind of dichotomy in all of us, you know. Right. And it's almost as if it's a kind of a self-justification, that we can justify ourselves on many levels. In this case, saying that I believe, I practice, I say my prayers, etc., or I, you know, obey the commandments, the laws of the church, the morality of the church, etc., and all these things, and I have my devotions and everything. And yet, that will of God every day that is given to us, maybe by the neighbor that's there in front of us that has need, and I may not respond to that. And so we're not always in touch with the practice of our faith, beyond the religious practice of our faith, but also the social practice of our faith. And yet there are others that are pointed out here that, you know, may be doing good works, but may not really have, how should I say, kind of hardened their heart to any kind of a religious practice.
Right.
And so, you know, in many ways, Jesus is not justifying either group.
And that's interesting that you say that, because as I read it, I was thinking, well, it's better to be the one that said no and then decided to do it, because probably upon reflection realized, I do want to do this, rather than the one that committed to say yes and then didn't follow through.
Right. But yes, and that's true. But there is, you know, there is a point that he does make, that people who are in really in need of God, such as he says, the tax collectors and the prostitutes of his day, but also in our own day, those who really have a sense of sin, of wrongdoing in their life, or maybe have followed the wrong path for many years, come to that point of knowing that this is not the way. And so there's a conversion, a changing, a turning around that happens. And I think that's really what he was pointing at. So in themselves, as two groups, the one who says they will do it and they don't, or the one that says they will not do it and does it, he's not really saying either one is in the right. What he's talking about really is conversion, of changing our heart and allowing our actions to reflect what we profess in our daily life. And, you know, this is something we all struggle with. St. Paul even, you know, struggled with it in the words that he used. He said that I sometimes do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. I mean, there's this kind of motivational factor that's sometimes missing in our daily life and in our the expression of our faith. And so we have to be always on our toes, I think, looking at what does motivate our actions.
Because we've used this analogy before of the people that stand up in the front of the church and they're preaching the Word of God, but yet then they're being dishonest all throughout the week in whatever line of work that they're in.
Exactly. Those are the kinds of things that I think transferring this to our day, which is what we need to do, is how does this apply to us today? That, you know, we may show up in church every Sunday and yet throughout the week be involved in things personally, financially, that don't reflect the values, don't reflect the faith that I'm professing on a Sunday. And so we have to be very careful to not destroy or not to devalue our profession of faith by our actions. And this is something that all of us have to be aware of in our daily life. You know, I look at it for myself and say, well, what is the factor here that can bring the practice of faith and the profession of faith together? And I really think it's what motivates me in life. What is at the very core? What's the core value, the core belief in each of our lives? And certainly, I think from our faith life, it is the commandment to love God above all things and to love your neighbor as yourself, to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It is love that really must motivate all of our actions. Even if something is very difficult, we have to look for the motivating factor of love, which is to want the good of the other. And this is hard for us in a society like ours, where we want to do everything for ourselves. We become, to the extreme, we can become very narcissistic, very inward-looking. What do I get out of it? We hear these things everywhere. What do I get out of it? Why should I do that when I don't benefit from it?
What's in it for me?
What's in it for me? And et cetera, et cetera. And those are false motivations for doing anything. And that is where we will feel the disconnect between a faith that one practices on on a Sunday in a profession of faith, and the living of that faith in their daily life. So we always have to go back, I think, to that core of what is the greatest commandment, and to be obedient to that commandment, which in itself, the word obedience is that it is a product, you might say, or it's an expression of love, doing the will of the other, what is good for the other. And so if a neighbor is in front of me in the present moment with a need or just needs to be listened to, lend an ear, that is practicing our faith. That is putting it into practice and not hardening our heart against that neighbor or any other scenario. I'm just using a simple scenario there. But these are the things that really allow the profession of faith that we make to become real in the practice of our faith.
In the example that you gave about the neighbor wanting to be heard, I see that all the time. You're in the car, you're ready to go, and somebody's standing out there, and you think, let me just roll down the window and say hello.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all. With them for about a minute or two.
Exactly. Just recognizing that they exist. I mean, I think one of the greatest ills of our society is a sense of loneliness, which loneliness is a sense of isolation, of feeling that no one cares, no one recognizes that I exist. And a simple thing like that could change a person's day, or if not a week, mm-hmm. just that somebody passed and recognized that I exist. And that small example of love is really faith in action,
right,
in a very simple way. In the workplace, I see it so often where someone will see another one kind of overburdened by a certain task or maybe behind in their work and just offer a lending hand, or can I get you a cup of coffee, instead of them having to get up and get it. There's so many little things, and it doesn't take much. That's, yeah.
What
I think,
can
the
I
point.
Do to help?
Yeah. It doesn't take much to change an environment, to change a person's life, to touch a person's inner being, where God dwells. It's that simple act of reaching out to them. And so I think, going back to the gospel and these rather harsh statements of Jesus in this, it really has to come down to how do we practice that today? What is the meaning of that in our life today? And so, again, he's not affirming either side in that sense, but what he's affirming in saying that the tax collectors and the prostitutes, or the people of today who may be involved in a sinful way of life, that because they hear the word of God and they convert, they change, they find that there's the source of life, not the activities that they're involved in. They want to change and follow a new way of life, and that's what he's saying. They're the ones who will enter first. And sometimes it's kind of a mystery of human life, but because of their erroneous way of life, their practice, perhaps they're more prepared to hear the different word. And maybe we could talk about that after the break, of how that kind of, not that we should go out and become great sinners to hear the word of God, but perhaps they're more open to listening than we are who follow it every day in our life.
Well, I think that also brings up people who've been away from the church for a while, because there's something that is weighing them down.
And they want
something. Weighing them down, and they need to really confess it and understand that we have a forgiving God.
Exactly.
So, all right. We are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Not to rush the season, but it is good to get a bit ahead of the holiday rush. St. Pius X Catholic School, 5620 Gallagher Road, will hold its Fall Bazaar Saturday, October 17th in the Parish Hall, 737 St. Pius Drive, behind the church. From 10 a.m. till 3 p.m., you'll enjoy great holiday shopping with over 30 vendors and a silent auction. That'll help eliminate some of those Christmas gift lists, or at least whittle them down a bit. Attendees must wear a mask, use hand sanitizer before arriving in the hall, and please practice social distancing. For complete admission and vendor information, call the school office, 361-993-1343.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, we were talking about these two stories, the one person that says yes and then doesn't follow through, and then the other one that says no and then has a change of heart and a conversion and decides to answer the word. So when we're talking about this hardness of heart, it really would be the Word of God and listening to the gospel and following through that would help kind of loosen up our hard hearts, so to speak.
Yes. I it's a formation. It's a school of formation, really. Mm-hmm. I think in many ways the gospel is a school of formation to not harden our hearts. And so, to be able to listen to the Word of God attentively in the sense that I don't analyze it. I'm not there to exegete it or study it only. I mean, those things are important as we're preparing ourselves to really get to the deep meaning of what the Word of God is. But there's a certain simplicity in listening to the gospel that we have to receive it and embrace it. A couple of Sundays ago, there was a reading from the book of Sirach in the first reading, which said that the sinner embraces anger and wrath, and not only embraces, but hugs, just kind of squeezes it to itself, which is a hardening.
Right.
When we're offended, and of course this past month, a few weeks ago, we had the anniversary of 9/11, and it was interesting as we reflected that Sunday that gospel that Sunday was about how often do I forgive? Seven times, or Jesus said no, 70 times, 77 times. So it was something people struggled with. I was even watching one of the big news commentators on that day. And really saying he was Catholic, he practiced, he had been to Mass Saturday night, he said, so he could be there all day Sunday in the news studio. But he struggled with that. But what I'm saying here, I mean, if a conversion is going to happen in any of us, it's an interior conversion, that we can harden ourselves to even that word in the midst of that tragic moment that none of us glory in. I mean, it was a horrible thing. But the Word of God is still there. The Word of Christ is still there in front of us, calling us to something more. And so to hear that, which is kind of a profession of faith, I believe in the gospel, or, in the church every Sunday when we say this is the gospel of the Lord and we say praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do we really mean that?
Right.
Because if we mean it, it means we're going to adhere to it.
Right.
And so even in that sense, this past month, it's a real call to us to reexamine our own life of forgiveness. And so just in that example, we can see where the Word of God loosens the mind toward maybe our own categories of thought that have become hardened, calcified, kind of this is the only way I can think, or maybe our hearts, I will help these people. I will exclude these. I love these. I don't love these. I prefer this group over that group. And that's a hardness of heart. Mm-hmm. The Word of God coming in, welcomed in, embraced in that sense, calls us to something more. And I think this is what Jesus is, wherever he's addressing whatever group and addressing us today, is don't become calcified. Don't become so hardened in your ways that you can't see where the kingdom of God is. And this, the group, when he's speaking of the prostitutes, or today we could say, the sinners, because they're like fertile ground for the Word of God. Again, not that
right.
we want to go there,
right.
but they know that they're missing something. They have embraced that anger and wrath or whatever it is in their life that they're holding on to. And it's through that the Word of God can penetrate and loosen them to come to the truth, to come to the Word, to come to the Lord.
Well, and as we talked about a couple of weeks ago for the anniversary of 9/11 and that gospel that day, forgiveness doesn't excuse bad behaviors.
Right, exactly.
But at least and by forgiving, we're kind of letting go
right.
of that hardness that we have in our hearts.
And it brings us to some kind of action. I know that this past month, at the beginning of the month, we also had, we introduced the practice of living the Word of God, living the Word of Life, for example. And the word for this month that we've had is, but we had to celebrate because your brother was lost and has been found, and he's come back to us. So, and the commentary encouraged us to reach out, you know, to welcome. And, you know, I know for myself, I hope others had some good experiences in putting that into practice. But throughout the month, I was thinking, what is this, what's this say to me? I mean, I don't have any lost brothers or, but in a couple of situations, I know it called me to be more patient in listening maybe to someone on the phone. Someone I talk to regularly, I'm thinking of particularly, but, you know, you kind of heard it before. And so you just kind of shut down in a certain sense and let them talk. But, you know, you think, is that really love? That's not love. That's tolerance.
You're going through the action.
Going through the motions, the actions. Right. But, you know, the call is to do something more, to open myself, to listen and to affirm, to acknowledge something that may not be of interest to me. Mm-hmm. In another case, again, it was a phone call, but just somebody I hadn't talked to in a while, and I felt, you know, that inner stirring to reach out to that person again. And so I called, and it was a nice conversation, you know, just to again do that. But that's, you know, that's where the God's word that is professed, it's a call to not just sit where you are. Mm-hmm. But to motivate us to put all that into practice in the simplest of things again. So, you know, when you look at sentences like that, but we had to rejoice, you think, well, how can I do that? And that's where commentaries or some explanations of the word help us. Well, there's this area that may not look like it relates to that story, but certainly it is. It's a way of loving and doing God's will in a certain moment. So I know for me it was a very fruitful month, and I appreciate a few emails and phone calls and comments that we had, and it seems like it kind of hit home with some people as well.
Well, I think I know it did. I was sharing that with several people throughout the past couple of weeks, and one friend in particular said, and that son was really angry, you know, just out of the blue. And I said, yes, he was. And I said, but that's what the focus was. You know, the focus was on the older son and how we have perhaps driven some wedges in our relationships in the past, and to really think back about it. And you know, that's right. Yeah. We ought to do it. So it's nice to reflect on something for the entire month and see how we're doing to soften our hearts and go through that conversion.
Right. You know, because I think one of the core values here in this particular gospel that we have this Sunday, too, is that faith, religion is not just about the religious, what we would call the religious practices of our faith. That's certainly a side of it. And again, when I say that Jesus was not affirming either side, we need to have that religious expression of ourself, because we are created by God to return to God. And so religion is merely the channel by which I express my love for God in a very pure way. But we also realize that it has to have a social dimension as well. It's not just vertical. It's also horizontal, that I need to have that that social expression, which is love of neighbor, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love one another. If you look at the gospel, really it has, as I mentioned at the beginning, it certainly has a psychological implications, and also it has a social implications as well as religious. And so I think in this case, Jesus is addressing all of us, you know, whether we are people who are very religious and hopefully also practice, but if we're in that less mode of practicing in the social realm, then we need to look at that and see, how does my religious life, my faith life, is practiced. Or on the other hand, if we're so involved in so many things and we're helping everybody, but then I don't have time for God. That's the point here, that I don't have time. And we hear this so often. You know, we're so involved with the kids, or so involved with our activities, and, oh, you know, I really want to go to church, or I want to express, but I don't have time.
Or I don't need to go to church in order to believe in God.
Yeah, and so all those are kind of, you know, there's two sides. Those
exactly.
are really the two sides. And Jesus is, again, talking about a conversion in all of us. And none of us is perfect.
Nope.
None of us is where we should be or could be, can be. And so it's always a call. And again, the Word of God is what calls us back and calls us to the table of the Lord in the Eucharist for us to come to receive Him there with a humbled heart, with a heart that is really set on doing His will.
Mm-hmm. Well, as it said in the Catechism that corresponded to this gospel, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, words are not enough, deeds are required.
Right, exactly. And again, we don't buy our way into heaven or no. We don't work our way into heaven, but we live our faith in a not just a private way, but also in an external expression in how we treat one another. St. Teresa of Lisieux, and I think I've quoted this several times, but it is very pertinent to us. She used to say, if you want to know how much you love God, look at how much you love your neighbor. And if you really love your neighbor, then the source of that love is God Himself. So they're inseparable.
Yes.
I think that's, and of course, if we read the first letter of St. John, it comes out very clearly. Those who say that they love God and turn their back on their neighbors are a liar. And vice versa, to love our neighbor, we need to go to the source of love, who is God.
A lot for us to think about this week.
Right.
Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in your unbounded mercy, you have revealed the beauty of your power through your constant forgiveness of our sins. May the power of this love be in our hearts. May the power of this love be in our hearts to bring your pardon and your kingdom to all we meet. We ask this through Christ our Lord. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us on this Sunday. Have a blessed day and a wonderful rest of your week, and please tune in next week where we will have our October Word of Life. Follow me.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.